Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Gail, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining Eurobank Ergasias conference call to present and discuss the second quarter 2018 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fokion Karavias, CEO. Mr. Karavias, you may now proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to the Eurobank second quarter 2018 results presentation. Let me first introduce the team here with me, Mr. Harris Kokologiannis, CFO, and the investor relations team. We will start with the presentation of our results, and then we will answer your questions during the Q&A session. On the macroeconomic front, Greece is now in the post-program era, having addressed the public finances and its twin deficits. Challenges still remain, including the need to retain high primary surpluses, to stick to a demanding reform agenda, promote investments, growth, and job creation. Market tensions in the European periphery and emerging markets may have pushed back the sovereign bond issuance schedule. Although this may affect the bank's funding plans, overall, the economic conditions remain solid, underpinned by a strong tourism season and improving exports, pointing to a full year 2018 growth of close to 2%. We expect sentiment and market confidence to further improve once Greece is back in the market in a sustainable way. In any case, our strategic priorities remain intact, as reflected in the second quarter financial results, highlights of which are shown on page four of the presentation. More specifically, net profits reached 55 million euros in the second quarter and 113 million euros in the first half. The core pre-provision income increased by 6.3% from the previous quarter and 1.3% year-on-year, driven primarily by stronger fees and commissions. Operating expenses were down 3.4% year-on-year in Greece and 2% lower across the group. Moving now on asset quality metrics. NPE formation was negative at 200 million euros, while the NPE stock was reduced by 0.6 billion in the last quarter and 1.1 billion euros since the beginning of the year. Following an NPE ratio decrease by 70 basis points in the first quarter, we had a further 110 basis points reduction in the second quarter of 2018. Thus, the NPE ratio reached 40.7%. The ratio of provision over NPEs remained broadly stable at 56%. Taking into account the first half 2018 NPE performance, we are confident that the full year target will be outperformed. This is based first on a scheduled disposal of 1 billion euro portfolio of consumer loans to be completed in the next weeks, and second, on the expected NPE reduction in the second half of the year based on the second quarter run rate. On top of the above, we are in advanced discussions with the SSM regarding another transaction, that is, an NPE mortgage loan book securitization, which should result in an additional 2 billion euro NPE reduction. All these initiatives support our updated plan for an NPE ratio in the area of mid-teens by the end of 2021, a plan to be submitted to the SSM by the end of next month. Let me now move on liquidity. Our deposit gathering efforts continue, and we expect further progress in the third quarter as economic sentiment improves and clients' confidence recovers. Our deposits increased by 1 billion euros in the last quarter, of which 0.9 billion euros in Greece. It is noteworthy that Greek deposits are up by 2.2 billion euros in the first half of 2018. ELA funding decreased to 1.8 billion euros, down by more than 6 billion euros since December of 2017. Finally, our loan-to-deposit ratio improved further and dropped below 100%. On capital, we ended up the quarter at CET1 ratio of 14.8% and the fully loaded Basel III ratio at 11.9%, while the total capital adequacy ratio stood at 17.4%. Our international operations remain consistently profitable and self-funded, while profits increased by 13% year-on-year, reaching 73 million euros in the first half of the year. At this point, I would like to ask our CFO, Mr. Harris Kokologiannis, to present our results in detail before opening the Q&A session.
Thank you, Fokion. Moving on slide 7 and on funding and liquidity, as shown on the top left of the page, the latest reading of ELA funding stands at 1.8 billion euro. That is almost 4 billion lower than the first quarter's figure. The decrease is mainly driven by deposits inflows, market repos with covered bonds and Greek government bonds, and an SME loan securitization completed in June. As regards the capital position on page 8, in the second quarter, the fully loaded CET1 ratio amounted to 11.9%, lower by 10 basis points versus the previous period as a result of RWA's increase by 170 million euro. The phasing CET1 ratio amounted to 14.8%, while total capital ratio, including the Tier 2 bonds, amounted to 17.4%. Moving on page 11 and on loans and deposits evolution. In the second quarter of the year, gross loans, excluding write-offs and FX effect, were flat, as the increase of the corporate portfolio in Greece and Bulgaria, amounting to 200 million euro, was offset by the decrease of the household portfolio in Greece. Group deposits increased by 1.1 billion euro, mainly coming from Greece. For the first half of the year, group deposits increased by 2.6 billion euro, the major part coming again from the Greek business. As a result, net loans to deposit ratio decreased below 100% to 99.3%. On page 14, net interest income for the group increased slightly this quarter to 356 million euro, as the lower lending margin and the full impact of the Tier 2 were fully offset by lower ELA cost and higher net interest income from the international operations. On page 15, net commission income rebounded in the second quarter, reaching 74 million euro. Quarter on quarter, this is an increase of 15% and relates with higher network, capital markets and asset management fees. Year on year, fees and commissions are higher by 5.5%, while the fees over assets ratio amounted to 52 basis points. On page 16, operating expenses decreased on a yearly basis by 2% for the group and by 3.4% in Greece. At the bottom right of the page, it is shown that the number of staff in Greece decreased in the last 12 months by more than 600 people, while branches were reduced in the same period by 20% to 350, pointing to another year of decreasing cost, mainly in Greece. Further on pre-provision income and on page 5. On the top left of the page, our core PPI increased quarter on quarter by 6.3% and year on year by 1.3%, as the lower lending margin and the Tier 2 cost were fully offset by lower ELA cost, higher fee income and lower operating expenses. Despite the interest expense of Tier 2 securities and based on first half performance, we expect the 2018 core PPI to be at the same level versus the previous year, supported by higher fees and commissions and milder than expected pressure on NII. On page 9 and on international business, net profit from recurring operations for the second quarter increased to 40 million euro as a result of higher core income and lower operating costs. For the first half of the year, net profit amounted to €73 million, higher by 13% versus the respective period of 2017. Moving on asset quality and on page 6, as shown on the top left of the page, negative NPE formation amounted this quarter to €200 million, mainly driven by the mortgage and the small business portfolios. Negative formation, high liquidations and write-offs led the NPE ratio down by 110 basis points to 40.7%. On a yearly basis, the NPE ratio has declined by 440 basis points, or in absolute terms, by €3 billion. Provisions in the second quarter amounted to €169 million, and cost of risk over net loans unchanged to 1.9%. Finally, NPE's coverage remained almost stable at 56%. On page 18, it is shown that in the second quarter, NPEs are, as per SSM perimeter, decreased by €471 million, amounting to €17.3 billion. That is €450 million better than the target. As shown at the right part of the page, quarter on quarter, the higher decrease of NPEs is mainly driven by better cash collections, accelerated liquidations, and higher write-offs. On pages 19 to 23, more information is provided regarding NPEs and 90-plus formation and composition, as well as an analysis of the lending portfolio into IFRS 9 stages. Finally, on page 24, it is presented the movement and the stock of the repossessed assets portfolio in Greece, and on page 25, the progress of auctions to date, showing the significant acceleration over the last month. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
The first question is from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for the call. My first question is on your comment about this €2 billion of securitization that you mentioned on the call. Is this coming on top of the current NPE plan? And if I look at your slide 18, when you mentioned the 15.6 for 2018, does that mean that if you complete the €2 billion in 18, you're already on the targets despite your other efforts? That's the first question. The second question goes to the corporate NPL side of things. Again, we had an uptick in formation similar to previous quarter. So is there any more to come on this area? Do you have any visibility on the corporate NPL side of on the formation side? And finally, regarding guidance for the year, NII and cost of risk, NII, you've been guiding for a minus single digit for 2018 versus 2017, cost of risk below 200 basis points. So I just want to confirm that these are still the case. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your questions. Let me start about the €2 billion securitization, but let me answer it in a broader way so that we have the full picture about where we stand in terms of our plan. And let me start from the performance of the second quarter. We saw an NPE formation that was negative by €200 million. We had for the first half of the year a reduction on the NPE stock of €1.1 billion, which in the second quarter was driven mainly by negative NPE formation in all loan segments. This is on page 19 of the presentation, as well as improved collateral liquidations, as it shows on page 18. Now, moving in the third quarter, we expect that the NPE formation will remain negative, although it may be slightly lower than the respective figure of the second quarter due to seasonality. This is a pattern that we have seen in 2017, and it is most likely that it's going to repeat in 2018. However, the full year 2018 performance, based on what we have seen in the first half of the year, is expected that it will outperform the respective target for the year. As you mentioned correctly, at page 18, we show that the target for the year is 15.6 billion euros. We expect to close the year at a level lower than that, and we expect a 2 billion euro further drop on the NPE stock, which is going to come first from the 1 billion euro portfolio of consumer loans to be completed in the next weeks. Second, by another 1 billion euro, which is the expected quarterly, the sum of the quarterly NPE reduction performance through workouts, collateral liquidations, and so on and so forth. Based on these two elements, we expect to close the year at a level below 15.6 billion euros. Now, on top of that, on top of the plan for the 2016, as I mentioned during my introduction, we are in advanced discussions with the SSM about a new transaction, which is a securitization of NPE mortgage loans. When completed, this transaction will result into an additional 2 billion euro NPE reduction. Let me clarify again that this is on top of any performance in the current year. Subject to regulatory approval, we should launch this transaction before the end of 2018, most likely in the end of the third quarter or the beginning of the fourth quarter, and closing is expected before the end of the first half of 2019. It's going to lead to the derecognition of 2 billion euro of NPE mortgages based on the principle of significant risk transfer. The structure will include three tranches, the senior, the mezzanine, and the junior. The junior and the mezzanine will be sold into the market, and the senior will be retained by the bank. I think this clarifies your first question. Now,
Can I just ask something on that, please? Is that going to affect the way you prepare your targets discussed with SSM? Because, if you know that there's another 2 billion to come out to be closed in 2019, that could be already part of the 2019 targets that you're going to resubmit, right?
Okay. This is a good question because, as you know, we are already in the process of updating our plans, and actually, the NPE reduction effort will extend beyond 2019. We are planning to submit to the SSM an updated plan for the years 2019, 2020, 2021 by the end of September of this year. Obviously, this new plan is going to include the transaction that I just described. Overall, according to this plan, we are targeting an NPE ratio at the end of the period, at the end of the three-year period, 2021, in the area of mid-teens in terms of the NPE ratio. We believe that this is an ambitious target, but it is a target that we can achieve, and we can achieve without affecting, in any negative way, the bank's capital base. Obviously, in order to achieve this target, we're going to use all available NPE reduction tools, which include the workouts, the collateral liquidation, portfolio sales, and obviously, what we are introducing now, securitizations. Because if this transaction is successful, and we are confident that it's going to be successful transactions, more securitizations will follow. Let me now move on your second question about the corporate NPLs. Although we showed a slightly negative formation of the corporate NPs, you were right that in the corporate NPLs, the reading was positive. This is at page 23 for everybody to follow. So in we saw already, although positive, there is an improvement versus the reading of the first quarter. We don't expect any more positive readings. In the third quarter, the corporate NPL formation should become negative again.
Now, regarding the profitability of the bank on net interest income, our initial guidance was for a mid-single rate reduction year on year. We may provide a new guidance referring to a low single rate at the area of -2% to -3% year on year. On fees and commissions, we stick on our initial guidance for a high single digit increase year on year. Operating expenses, the decrease will be higher than 2%, with more visible this decrease in the Greek business. So as a result, our core pre-provision income, although our initial guidance was for a mid-single rate reduction, is our updated guidance is for a flattish core PPI year on year, and combined with a cost of risk lower than 2% on net loans, we expect pre-tax profitability to be at levels similar to 2017 levels, i.e. close to 250 million euro.
That's great. Thanks, guys.
The next question is from the line of Abad Jose with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hello.
I apologize. Mr. Jose has withdrawn his question. We will continue with Ms. Sherevach Victoria with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you very much for taking my questions. Four from me, please. The first is just clarification. I'm sorry, the line just cut off there for me. What was your cost of risk guidance, please? My second question is on slide 18. Just this cash payments line item that you show, which is very helpful. I see that ticked up a little bit in Q2. Could you just give us some outlook here on Q3, given, you know, where you've seen auctions go, you know, and how that's impacted this cash payment line? My third question is around headcount. I'd love to get a better understanding of where you think that can go over the coming quarters, if you could give us some guidance on that. And my last question is just back again on this loan book securitization, please. Could you give us some sort of idea of what pricing you expect for the sort of the junior and mezzanine tranches? And also, do I understand correctly that this is not a GAX, like the Italian GAX, so there won't be any sort of state guarantee for this? And if that is understood correctly, then do you still expect some sort of GAX to be something that could work in Greece? Is that being discussed? Any color on that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, let me start from your last question, and then the last question is the one about page 18, and then our CFO will answer the other two. Now, in terms of the securitization and the expected price, I'm sure you could appreciate that it is early to discuss about prices. However, we anticipate that the investor interest will be quite strong, given that this is the first securitization and the first mortgage transaction coming out of Greece. And the final price at which the transaction may clear could be close to the net book value of the 2 billion euro loan. Any potential shortfall that may exist out of any difference between the final price and the net book value should be covered by the annual cost of risk, and we will come back to what is our expectations about cost of risk. Now, on your question about GACS, let me confirm that there is no such arrangement in Greece. There is no guarantee by the state. There are some efforts by the HFSF about introducing such a program, but at the moment we don't really have any sort of visibility how close this may be. So this transaction will move forward without GACS. As I mentioned before, the senior tranche will be retained by the bank. Now, let me go on your second question, which was about page 18 and cash payments. As I mentioned before, the performance in terms of formation in the third quarter is expected to be slightly lower than in the second quarter because of seasonality reasons. This is something that we observed also in 2017. However, in the fourth quarter, we expect to make the difference, and again, this that was the experience of 2017. So the cash payments figure of 148 may be slightly lower in the third quarter. Also, collateral liquidations could be lower because in August auctions don't take place in Greece. But again, this is going to accelerate in the fourth quarter so that we conclude 2018 at an NP stock below the 15.6 billion euro of the target. Let me now pass to Harris about cost of risk and headcount.
I'll start from the latter one. Now, regarding headcount, let me take you on page 16 of the presentation, where we have the progress of the operating costs. On the right-hand side of the page, we may see that year-on-year costs are down for the group by 2%, while in Greece the performance is even better with a year-on-year decrease by 3.4%. At the bottom of the page, you may see the drivers of this progress. First, on the number of branches, where from 440 approximately, we have come down to 350 retail branches. Well, as far as headcount is concerned, year on year we are down by 600 people, from 9,700 to 9,100 as we speak. Now going forward, we should not expect any decrease on the number of branches as far as the foreseeable future is concerned. We can say that in the short term we have reached a level of equilibrium, while in terms of employees, the rationalization of operations is ongoing. Regarding cost of risk in general, we may say that, and we may comment that under the IFRS 9 framework introduced in 2018, we could expect materially lower provisioning costs. However, in the context of executing our NPE reduction plan on a timely manner,
while maintaining the NPE coverage at broadly current levels, we should expect the cost of risk to be lower than 2% in the 2018 year.
That's great. Thank you very much for the color.
The next question is from the line of Barakdaria Gilgi with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking my questions. I have two questions, please. First of all, regarding your CET1, I thought you would get a benefit from the Greek government bond spread decline in the second quarter, but that's not visible in your CET1 move. Could you please explain why that was not visible and if you have changed anything with regards to your GGB portfolio? And my second question has to do with performing loan growth. If my calculations are correct, performing loans increased again quarter on quarter, and today one of your peers actually booked a TLTRO benefit in NII. Could we see that also for Eurobank, or is that not the case? Thank you.
Regarding Greek government bonds, the answer is the mark-to-market has improved in the second quarter, and we have realized a significant part of this improvement through P&L, so a significant part is included either in other income or in the income from associates, this coming from our investment in Eurolife. Regarding your second questions about TLTRO, actually no benefit is included in our net interest income for the second quarter, and we should not expect any such benefit. Regarding the volume movement, to provide you with the big picture is that in the retail portfolio, deleverage continues, mainly associated with the mortgage portfolio amortization. In the corporate, on the other hand, we had approximately 250 million euro organic growth in Greece, of course coming from the performing portfolio in the first half of 2018, while another 250 million have come from international operations, mainly in Bulgaria and Cyprus.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kepaptsoglou Iason with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. A quick question on slide 13 and looking at the performing book and lending spreads in Greece. They seem to be rather volatile. Given that the general trend appears to be downwards, can you help us understand what's driving the movements overall in kind of the medium term in its portfolio? Is it competition? Is it the restructuring efforts? Are you issuing loans which are lower risk and that you have lower spreads? What exactly justifies the moves? Thank you.
Thank you, Yasmo, for your question. The higher volatility on spreads is mainly coming from the corporate book. And the picture is as follows. Regarding the spreads on the performing corporate portfolio, this really is affected by competition, while regarding the non-performing one, this is affected by low rates, mainly due to restructurings and modifications. On the positive side, there is recovered interest from restructured loans, which has affected positively some quarters. Specifically, the two previous quarters have been significantly affected positively from recovered interest of restructured corporate loans. Going forward, we should expect some further mild pressure in the corporate spread as a result of the reasons that I mentioned before.
And any views on what we should expect on the retail side? I'm looking at small business banking here, and that seems to be pretty volatile as well, like 40 basis points, quote-unquote, moves on the performing loan spreads. And any reasons behind that?
this positive pick up in the second quarter is mainly due to technical reasons related with EIR application. We should expect that to hover around the area of 370-380 basis points overall going forward. I mean overall, I mean the combination of non-performing and performing book.
Okay, and then one last question on the securitization front. I know that probably the government is not going to be providing any guarantees given how tight control there is on anything that has to do with the funding structure of Greece. But have there been any discussions about reaching out to international institutions and getting guarantees through there, like the EBRD or the European Investment Bank? We have seen portfolios being transacted with the help of those international institutions in the past. So has there been any discussion with regards to that?
Some discussions have taken place. However, as I mentioned before, any sort of guarantee either coming from the government or from international entities like EBRD or EIB does not look likely at the moment.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Abbas Gary with Penrith Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Well, good evening, rather. On slide 18, I just want to understand what drives the NPE inflows and what is driving the NPE outflows.
It's NPE inflows are new defaults or loans that have been restructured. Outflows is driven by loans that have gone through the probation period and have remained performing for at least 12 months, and therefore they have been classified from NPE to performing forborne. And cash payments, obviously, is what the word says, what we receive in cash.
Okay, now on that NPE inflow, are we going to see an improvement over time on that basis? In other words, are people still really struggling and that number's not going to go away? We're just going to sort of go through a recycling process of getting cured and then falling back into non-performing? Or are we actually seeing a general, gradual improvement over time in the creation of NPEs?
I think we have already seen a quite material improvement. If you look at the second and the third quarter of 2017, you could see that the inflows were north of 400 million euros per quarter, whereas in the following quarters, we are in the area of 250 to 287 million euros, so below 300. In the end of 2017, we have seen a material improvement, which was driven by two factors. One was the pickup in sentiment and the improved financial conditions, but second, maybe more important, it was the time at which auctions became headlines and electronic auctions were coming in the market. And I think this has affected the payment behavior of customers, and this is what has driven the NPE inflows from the 400 plus area to 260, 270 million euros as we are currently. Now, whether we're going to decline from this level going forward, again, it's going to be a function of improved financial conditions. If we see growth continuing at a pace higher than 2%, over the next few years, and if we see unemployment coming down further, obviously we should expect lower NPE inflows.
Great, thanks. And then the second part of my second question I have is really just relating to the property auctions, where we're seeing sort of 80% being acquired by the bank, 88% acquired by the bank. What is the future of those acquired properties? First of all, one, how much are we holding on, are being held on the balance sheet in terms of euros? And then what is going to happen to those properties over time? Are you going to just sit with a bunch of properties and wait for that to be taken up over time, sort of the next 10 or 15 years? Or are you going to be able to do something else with those properties?
If you look at page 24, you may find some answers to your questions. More specifically, looking at the center of the page, you see that the current balance of the repossessed assets is about half a billion euros.
Okay.
We have said before that through implementing our NPE reduction plan, this number may increase to levels up to 1 billion euros. We consider this to be something that we can attain, and it should be part of the NPE reduction strategy. Obviously, we should have a strategy on how we start disposing these assets into the market, and this is an effort that has already started. On the right part of the page 24, you see the results of this effort. And again, we may see in the future also portfolio sales of real estate. And again, this is part of the overall NPE reduction plan.
Great. Thanks very much for your time, and good luck with the job you're doing.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abad Jose with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Good afternoon. Sorry, I got disconnected before. And so apologies if any of my questions were asked before and already responded. So the first one is this. I mean, you just mentioned that actually you could increase the amount of repossessed assets in your balance sheet up to around a billion. So the question is whether you plan to include also this billion as part of your NPE targets going forward. I think you responded positively, but I just wanted to make sure, given that this is actually the case in other countries, like for example Spain. The second question was related to, as part of this securitization that you are working on at the moment, have you identified other portfolios of a meaningful size which could also be securitized going forward, and whether actually there could be potential demand for that, whether you've identified not just actually the potential portfolios but also demand for those portfolios. I guess the reply to the second is yes, but the key is whether you have the first one. And my last question is whether you could give us some data on the exposure, indirect exposure that you have actually to Turkey, not just through trade finance, but also through whether you have identified the percentage of loans to companies which are heavily exposed to Turkey, given that actually Turkey accounts for somewhere between 5 and 10% of Greece overall exports. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your questions, and let me take them one by one. First, in terms of the repossessed asset, what I said is that the reduction or the management of this portfolio is part of the NP strategy of the bank, following also the experience of Spain, as you said very correctly. However, this balance is not included in the NPs. This is real estate. The NPs are loans, so these are two different animals. But obviously, as part of the NP management and NP strategy, we have included the management and the reduction of this portfolio. Moving on your second question
It will not be in the targets then. So you will address it, but will not be in the targets.
There will be separate targets.
So
we're going to have targets for the NPEs, for the loans, and we're going to have also targets for the repossessed assets. Moving on your second question, whether there exist other portfolios that could be securitized of meaningful size and portfolios that the market may have interest, you said very correctly that the answer is positive, but one step at a time. So we would like to complete successfully this transaction, which is going to be the first one taking place in Greece. The way that we're going to do it without GAX is going to be maybe one of the first transactions in Europe. Therefore, we would like first to complete successfully this transaction. I mentioned before what is the time frame for completing this transaction, launching it before the end of the year, and the close should be before the end of the first half of 2019. And then obviously, based on the experience that we're going to get out of it, we're going to apply the same principles to other portfolios. In my view, this is going to be a powerful tool in our effort to reduce or to execute successfully our NPE strategy. Last about Turkey, let me confirm that in terms of direct exposure of the bank to Turkey, either through FX or through fixed income, our exposure is zero. In terms of indirect exposure that we may have because of lending to customers that they have business in Turkey, none of our customers rely on their Turkish business. They may have an exposure in terms of exports to Turkey, but this is a small percentage of their total volume. And therefore, we consider the indirect exposure also to be material.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Sheravach Victoria with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Thank you. If I could just take the liberty to ask two more questions, please. You mentioned that there were separate targets for OREOs. Could you just confirm, do you mean these are from the supervisor or are these internal targets? And if they are internal, do you expect that there would be some formalized by the supervisor? And my second question is the properties that you're selling and taking off your book, could you just give us an indication of what kind of pricing you're getting? Is it at market value, below, and just sort of, you know, if you can give some color as to the levels, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Let me start from your second question, which is, if I'm not wrong, about the portfolio of consumer loans. Is this correct? This is what you asked for.
Sorry, the second question. The second question was the pricing on of when you sell the properties that are on your books. So as you sell them and you take them off your book, what kind of pricing you're getting?
Yes, clear. Sorry, I was confused. So the experience that we had during the course of 2017 and in the first half of 2018, during this year we mainly sold commercial real estate, repossessed real estate, and actually in most of the cases we sold at prices higher than the book value. The commercial real estate has already started picking up in terms of interest. Prices are off the lows of the market, and the experience that we had was quite positive. Now, on the residential real estate, the situation is slightly different. First of all, the interest for residential real estate and the volumes are relatively low. And in terms of prices that we have been able to clear some transactions, those were not a lot, was about 10 to 15% lower than the book values. However, we see because of the stronger tourism and the introduction of platforms like Airbnb, that interest for residential real estate is also have started picking up, and we feel that this is going to help the banks in their NPEs strategy. Now, in terms of the targets that you mentioned before about the repossessed assets, we have the internal targets. I shared the number with you before, saying that the current balance of half a billion euros may increase over the next couple of years up to 1 billion. But as part of the new plan that we should submit to the SSM by the end of September of this year, we're going to make these targets also formal by submitting them to our regulator.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
We have another follow-up question from Abad Jose with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, only one question, very, very brief. On is regarding your expectations or your views regarding cures going forward. So if I mean, the e-auctions, obviously this is, given the high contribution of the bank itself actually in this process, is actually this, I mean at the end of the day, the key success, if any of this, is essentially to change people's incentives. So I mean, we should see over time an increase in the contribution of cures to your to the evolution of your NPE formation. So is that the case? So this is what you are you already seeing an improvement in? But that's not my understanding. No, but and what do you expect actually going forward with regard to the evolution of cures?
Your observation is correct. The improvement is already evident in mortgage 90 plus formation in the last three quarters, that you may see on page 23 of the presentation. Now have turned from positive to negative, hovering around negative formation or close to 60 million euro per quarter currently. There is also improvement in NPE inflows and cash payments, as shown on page 18 of the presentation. NPE inflows have been reduced from approximately 400 million euro per quarter a year ago to less than 300 million in the last two quarters. Regarding NPE outflows, as you may know, according to EBA rules, there is a 12-month lag from non-performing forborne to become performing forborne. Thus, some more months need to elapse before any improvement to become visible on that area. So, conclusively, we have started to see the impact of the auctions on the NPE KPIs, and we should expect more positive impact going forward.
So regarding outflows, do you think you already have some early indications that you will see a positive impact there?
As I said, yes, and the most eminent one is the 90 plus formation. On NPE inflows as well, and following the 12-month probation period that exists in order for an NPF to become PF, in the coming months we should also start to see that on the NPE outflows as well.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ulrich Ignacio with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Just have one question on fee income outlook. If you could just elaborate a bit on what should we expect in terms of fee income going forward after the good performance we have seen in the quarter, particularly in capital markets. So just wanted to get a bit of color on that. Thanks.
As we said, we have seen a strong rebound of fee and commission in the second quarter, where we had a quarter-on-quarter increase by approximately 15%. We should expect this good performance to continue at least for the next 2-3 quarters. So overall, for 2018, we should expect fee and commission to end up the year with a mark higher than the previous year by a high single-digit percentage. And this coming mainly from three categories: platform fees, that is part of the network activities, capital markets, as well as asset management, and that includes also bancassurance fees.
The next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Floriana Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, just a final one. Going back to your slide 20 and link to the question that was asked previously as well. So I'm looking at the chart at the bottom right of the page. You have 10 billion of forborne loans, 48% of it is performing forborne. So you have roughly 5 billion that are into that category that they're coming out of the perimeter within 12 months, right? So out of this 5 billion, do you know how much of it is coming out in 2018 already? Well, I mean, I was just trying to understand what is the profile of this 48% leaving the perimeter now on a quarterly basis or until the end of the year, will be okay?
I said before, and I think this to some extent should answer your question, that for the second half of the year we expect another 2 billion euro reduction in the NP stock. 1 billion coming out of the sale of the portfolio, and another 1 billion, which should be through the, let's say, organic reduction of the NPs. Now, this number includes curings, net curings, includes cash payments, includes the proceeds from liquidation of collateral, as well as write-offs. Does not provide an exact answer to your specific question, but from the organic, let's say, workout of the portfolio, we expect 1 billion euro of NP stock reduction over the course of the third and the fourth quarter.
Okay, that's good. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Karavias for any closing comments. Thank you.
Let me thank you all, first for your participation, second for your very interesting questions. We are looking forward to seeing any of you in any of our next road shows or in Athens if you visit us. Thank you very much and have a good evening.